Just to come back to a very Canadian type of ethical dilemma. Should police officers get free coffee at Tim Hortons?
Well, that's a great point. And let me back up just by saying I know for a fact that the rule for Tim Hortons employees is that a uniform officer comes into the store, you will give he or she a free coffee. And the genesis of that is this. I challenge you to give me five examples of a Tim Hortons that was robbed. And when Tim Hortons was opened, they said, if I can keep a uniformed police officer in here, the bad guy will not come in and steal all our hard-earned money from the day. And they did that because it cost them at the beginning 10 cents for a cup of coffee, probably 15 cents today. So is it unethical for, I go to Steven's house and we sit and he says, Mike, can I give you a coffee? I'd love a cup of coffee, thank you. And we sit across the table and I take a report from him. Or I come to your Tim Hortons. And over the years, we've gotten to know each other. And you go, Mike, come sit and have a coffee with me. And you give me a cup of coffee. I didn't come in there expecting a cup of coffee. I didn't tell you you must give me a cup of coffee because it says police here. Because if I had, that is a big problem. But if you go in with your money in hand and the person across the counter says, no, sir, thank you, that's on us today. Could it be unethical? Could it be perceived as unethical? I know it can be. And I know it perhaps is in some lenses. But I equate it to that sitting across the dining room table in that I know that their policy is you do not give it. But some people don't care about their policy. They take the money, and which is good, which is amazing. But on those occasions, they'll say, oh, no. I used to go through a drive-thru at Tim Hortons, and I'd order my coffee, and I'd come to the window, and I'd hand the lady my $2. And she'd say, sir, did you just drive to the window? You don't have to. I said, no. I came to the drive-thru like everybody else, and here's my $2. Thank you, but I appreciate it, but no thank you. Oh, okay. And the next time I'd come, she'd say the same thing, and the same thing. And one Christmas Eve, I came by, and she said, please, sir, let me give you this coffee. On Christmas Eve. I thought, okay, now is that unethical? Or do I justify it by saying it's Christmas Eve or it's a one-off or does it make it any different? I have to go back to why Tim Hortons started doing that in the first place.
But wouldn't other coffee shops be a little irritated if all the police are protecting one coffee chain and not theirs?
They don't seem to. And in fact, officers today don't really seem to go and get that cup of coffee anyway, because I'd suggest you more police officers go to Starbucks to get a coffee than Tim Hortons. And Starbucks certainly doesn't have that policy, nor do they ever give an officer free coffee that I'm aware of. So the officer is more than willing to pay whatever, $4 for the coffee at Starbucks, because they enjoy that coffee more than they enjoy Tim Hortons.
Now, this is a dilemma I give my students. So what would happen is every time the officer went into Tim Hortons, instead of getting a free coffee and donut, Timmy's gave him a dollar.
Yeah.
And said, thank you very much for coming, here's a dollar. Or just to make it easier, let's work out, you're going to visit us 150 times in the year, we'll just put $150 into your bank account at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be ethical?
Absolutely not.
But taking the coffee and the donut would be.
Well, I wouldn't push it to a donut, though.
See? What about a Timbit?
No, I wouldn't. And I think the purpose of what Tim Hortons did in the initial stages was to provide a coffee. Do police officers go in and say, yeah, I'll have a sandwich, I'll have this, and not pay sometimes, just walk out? We've seen that for 100 years in policing. It's why police have we even talk about a free coffee. It's because people take advantage of things wrongly, and that, in my opinion, is unethical. That, in my opinion, is actually borderline corrupt, because, and we've seen it, you've seen it, you know. The McDonald's down the street will give you a Big Mac meal, you know, while you're working, and you don't pay for it, or you pay $2 for it. Amazing. So the guys who go there, until the guy at the end of his shift decides he's going to take McDonald's home for his six kids and his wife. And he goes and he says, yeah, I need 8 Big Macs. Oh, it's just for the guys inside. And they give it to him. And they give it to him again and again. And then it comes to light, this guy's not doing this. This guy's actually taking this food home to his family. That's not the purpose of why that corporation decided to give you a deal or a reduced rate on your meal. It was because they thought you were out serving and protecting. And while you were doing that, they did this. Not so you could go have a street barbecue with McDonald's burgers. But it's a great argument. It is a dilemma. You used the $150 analogy there. I think, I want to believe, any officer that you'd speak to would say, that's completely corrupt, 100% corrupt, that you can't have that. But you put the coffee out there, that, you know, necessity for the 2 o'clock in the morning, and I think you would get more that would say, no, I don't know that I see the issue with that. You know, years ago, I don't know if you ever worked 14 Division, Stephen?
No, didn't have
if
that.
You walked into a home in 14 Division, predominantly Portuguese area years ago, and you didn't have a glass of wine with the family, you had offended them because you wouldn't share, you wouldn't break bread with them, you wouldn't.
Which brings us back to
the cultural.
So it brings us back to the different cultural ethics across the city.
Absolutely. But does breaking bread with a family because of their history or their culture make it somehow unethical? I don't know.
Is it legal for a police officer to drink alcohol on duty?
Yes, as long as he or she has the permission of their unit commander.
but that in itself raises the issue, and again, it gets back to what we were talking about, is that ethical behavior at times can be very blurred between I'm doing it to enhance my position with the community for the effect of why I'm here. In other words, the glass of wine with the family, here, please do that. This is our wine. We make it. Don't yep. insult me, to a point that I want you to go and tag a whole bunch of neighbors down the street because I don't like them, and here you go. I mean, mm-hmm. it is a fine line, and where is that line? Mm-hmm. So, and as you said at the very beginning, it isn't black or white. It's very gray, mm-hmm. and you have to go between it. So leading with that, towards the end here, is ethical behavior doing something good for someone, yourself, the service, society? Or is there a difference between good deeds, discretion, and ethical behavior? And I say that is, you're a police officer, you're going home, you're speeding, you get stopped off duty. Once the officer who stops you off duty, and I've had this happen, and I know I've given people breaks, and that's the discretion that I've used, slow down. But is that discretion good? So in saying it, what if the person had alcohol on their breath? Do you give them that discretion? You can go home. No problem, just take it easy. So my question is there a difference between good deeds and discretion?
First of all, I think both are vitally important in policing. I think it goes back to those core values that I say when I speak of good deeds. Discretion, I also think, is very important, because in any environment, discretion is necessary, but the criticism with discretion becomes front and center. You only pulled me over because I'm black. You're being rude to me because whatever. You wouldn't have made me blow into this breathalyzer if I had a low-cut top and big breasts. All sorts of arguments with as far as discretion. Discretion needs to be consistent, I believe, and which is hard to measure as well, maybe impossible. But if you say to an officer, I'd like you to go to this stop sign, it's near a school, and we've had problems with people speeding, and the officer stops 100 cars on that day, and he asks them all to slow down except one, he gives that person a ticket for some reason. And he says that he only gave it to that person because they told him to F off, and they were rude. Everybody else was, thank you, sir, have a great day. And so that's why he gave that person a ticket. Turns out that person is young black guy. And maybe he was rude, and maybe he said inappropriate things, and maybe he was the only person. But the suggestion from the person looking in from the outside after the fact is that that's racially biased policing. It may very well be. So I go back to what you said about body-worn cameras, and we have the luxury of in-car cameras in this city as well. It provides a transparency to those types of interaction, those types of discretionary decisions that an officer may or may not make. That person who has that smell of alcohol, I would hope that our people don't say, take it easy, hope you don't kill anybody in the way, because that is completely, in my opinion, wrong. That being said, if that officer said, sir, how much have you had to drink? Oh, I've had just a couple beer. Okay, sir, I'd like you to blow into this machine. The person blows below a warrant. I can't remember what the numbers are that it shows today, but, and that officer says, sir, you can't drive your car. I know that you registered a lower reading, but you're all over the road. My partner's going to drive your car, and I'd like to drive you home. I want to make sure you get home safe. I don't want to make sure society is safe as well. That's a discretionary call where somebody may say, well, but that's wrong too. You had no right to do that. You don't have the authority to do that. But there may be something else that is impairing him. Let's say he's tired and he's had two drinks and he's been up for 40 hours. Well, it compounds that individual's ability to operate that motor vehicle. So that officer uses that discretion. Could he have just simply charged him with careless driving? Probably. Sent him on his way? Yeah, maybe. Could have got into an accident? Perhaps. The officer be in trouble for that? Certainly be questioned about it. Had this piece of paper in his pocket when he ran into the back of that 80-year-old woman. How do you explain that, officer? Well, I gave him the test. He blew under. There's no warning. I set him on his way. I gave him a ticket for careless driving. But in that scenario, that officer uses discretion that ensured that not only was the individual safe and home safely, but society was safe in taking that action. It's a tough one, though. It goes back to that gray line. Where is that discretion? 100 traffic stops at a stop sign, one ticket. Justified? Perhaps completely. Perhaps 99 people were, and they could have been white, black, brown, whatever, said, my apologies, sir. I completely forgot this was a school zone. I won't do it again. And off they go. And they've been warned. Is the reason we give an officer discretion in that scenario to save the taxpayers money? Is it about a community service? Is it about the fact that we are the community that we police? Well, it's all those things. I mean, as I said earlier, we put a pistol on these people's hips. And we said, tomorrow you decide if you're going to take a life. But we're not going to give them discretion about a stop sign. We're not going to give them discretion about a traffic stop that may or may not have gone poorly. I think we we have to give them that discretion. You know, we give them that discretion when somebody reaches in a pocket too quickly and pulls out something shiny.
Yeah.
Is it possible that that person could be shot and perhaps killed and perhaps justified? Yeah, it is. But it's such a gray area and when you speak of that. And it's such a difficult position because I, from my experience, will have perhaps a completely different position than Stephen would have from his experience as a police officer.
Finally, one final question. What advice would you give our students on how to be ethical?
Well, simply for me, being ethical is about doing the right thing for the right reasons. And I think if they do that, and they, as goofy as that saying may be, if you're doing the right thing for the right reasons, that covers every interaction you have with the community. That covers every interaction you have with your boss. That it covers every report that you do. You're adding this to it because it's required, and I know that the next person will have this. And by doing the right thing for the right reasons, you use your discretion when it's appropriate. You use force when it's appropriate or not appropriate. And by doing the right things for the right reasons, I think you will also evaluate, where did I make a mistake today, and where can I be better tomorrow? Because if I continue to do that, and I'm better tomorrow than I was today, regularly, can't help but succeed. And those right things for the right reasons will be more accentuated. They will stand out more. It's probably goofy, and it may sound almost too simplistic, but I'm a simple Pollock, and I have to keep things simple. But I think when you use simple real-life experiences and terms with people, and I'll give you my last little analogy. When I stand in front of a parade of officers on a platoon, we have 17 police stations in the city of Toronto. We have three other entities between traffic services, our G&Gs, and our intelligence. So for argument's sake, 20 entities in the service. Until recently, we had 100 senior officers in this police service. 20 units, on average, 5 different things that those 20 units do. So 100 different entities in the Toronto Police Service. So I'd say to my men and women, I'd say, look to your left and look to your right and ask yourself, why not me? Because one of you will lead us to the future. Start that today. And when you do that, you even see the kid that's a little gruff around the edges look around and go, and you can see, he's looking at you going, he's pretty good. I can beat him. I don't know about her. And they begin to get better because they want to champion that they are better. We join policing because we have an A personality in the first place. It's about how consumed you are with your own A personality. And, you know, that's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And if you can keep under that arrogance line, you will be very successful in your career. The minute you become that arrogant, you know, that goof that nobody wants to work with or for, then maybe you succeed, maybe you don't. But at the end of the day, I really believe in our people. Our people are our number one commodity. We have to do right by our people. And sometimes it's the goofy analogy or the goofy line. But if that makes them better tomorrow than they were today, then it's good.
So. Great. Well, thank you very, very much, Mike.
Oh, my pleasure.
For your insights. This has been fantastic. And there'll be another podcast coming. Thank you. Bye for me.
And goodbye for me.